Today's shir is Masecht Kedushin Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Samach Amid Beis, the last words on the Amid Daba Hegdish Tanan. We've learned in our Mishnah different stipulations where a husband made a stipulation to his wife. If certain situation is there, he's obligated, then the Kedushin is a Kedushin. And we learned that if the stipulation is fulfilled, then they're married. If not, not. We spoke, the halacha, the Torah speaks about stei achuzah. A stei achuzah is a piece of property that one inherited. And the halacha with a stei achuzah is that when you're magdish stei achuzah, if somebody is magdish stei achuzah in the time that yovel is in effect, the halacha is that he can redeem it. But normally, when we speak about redemption of a property, the way it's redeemed is according to its value. Here, there's a new halacha. The Torah gives a very specific formula on how to redeem it. Zera chay misarim b'chamishim shekel kesel. That means if you have a property which is large enough to plant on it a chay misarim, which is similar, which is the same as the measurement that we discussed so many times in our Mishnah base core. The halacha is that every base core of stei achuzah that you are magdish, the amount that you have to pay to redeem it is chamishim kesef. And it makes no difference if the piece of property is worth more than that, or the piece of property is worth less than that. It's all immaterial. The property is always evaluated with that formula. Says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Gabe Hegdish Tanan. The Mishnah Masech the Erchin. Daf Chof Hei Amar Aleph teaches us regarding Hegdish. Hamagdish Shadei B'Shei Asayoyvel. And this halacha that we just learned is only applicable B'Shas Yoyvel. Says the Gemara. The halacha is the formula for redemption is nice and bezerah chay misayrim. For every zerah chay misayrim, you give chamishim shekel kesef. But says the Mishnah, haya nekoyim, if there were ditches amukam asar tfachim that are 10 tfachim deep, oislaim gavayim asar tfachim, or you have mountains, you have elevation 10 tfachim high, einim dadim imay. They're not measured together with the rest of the field. Pachs mekan. But if they're not 10 tfachim deep, then the halacha is, or 10 tfachim high, nimdadim imay. Says the Gemara, Vavinabai, says the Gemara, Ned Bahadi Arulaikachu, yes, they can't be considered contiguous with the rest of the field, but Nikachbapin of Shayu, ask the Gemara, why don't we measure them on their own? So the way the Yad Ramah explains that they're not included. The Yad Ramah learns Pshat in this Gemara that they're not Hegdish at all. And to that, the Gemara is asking that maybe they should be considered together with the rest of the field, but why should they not be considered Hegdish and have this formula? The Tosfos, B'Shem HaKuntres, says that what Einim Dodim means is that they do become Hegdish. But the formula that we learned of Chamishim Kesef, that formula doesn't exist. And for that, the Gemara is asking, why not? Maybe you shouldn't measure it together with the rest of the field, but why is that formula totally ignored? The Chitema, says the Gemara, the reason why that formula doesn't kick in is because Kamadoi have a base core. If the area under consideration is not a base core lodge, Lechoshev, we don't follow this formula. But ask the Gemara of Rimminu. The Brisa teaches us very much not like that. The Brisa says, the Torah Agdosha says, Vim esteach huzoso yagdish ish la'ashem. Says the Brisa, Soda. So the word Soda is superfluous. It could have just said, Mim mechuzoso yagdish ish la'ashem. Matam loyma, why did the Torah put in the word Soda? Lefish nemar, says the Brisa. Because the Torah gives the formula of Zerah Chaymas Oyer Mechamishim Shekel Kesef, Only ella higdash binyan azeh. Only if you were magdish a piece of property this large. Menayin l'rabbis lesach. If you were magdish a lesach, which is a chatzi kor, or chatzi lesach, which is a quarter of a kor, kasaw, or even if you were just magdish an area that's the size of a saw, tarkiv is a chatzi saw, chatzi tarkiv is a quarter of a saw, but feel a roiva tarkiv, which is an eighth entirely, menayin, that this formula is followed, tamalayim saw to become makim. So why are we not following this formula? Answers the Gemara. We're talking about ditches that are full of water. It's not an area that can be planted. And the Torah keeps on using the word zera chaymes ayrim, a place where you could plant. And here we can't plant. It says the Gemara, Deikanami, that that's to understand that the issue here is that this area is not plantable. The Tani, Dumi the slime gvoim, hard racks. And a hard rack is a place where you can't plant. So too, a ditch is a place that you can't, it's a ditch that's full of water that you can't plant. Shmamino. And that's why the halacha of the ditch and the stone is mentioned. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so then, if the issue here is that it's full of water, and because it's full of water, it's a place that can't be planted, so what's the difference that it's 10 tefachim deep or not 10 tefachim deep? It's a place that it can't be planted. It says the Gemara, Hanu Nagni da Ara Mikra. If it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it's called Nagni da Ara. And if it's, and if the stone is higher, less than 10 tefachim high, shidru the arab mikro. That part of the property, there's no piece of property that's completely flat. There's always going to be ditches and elevations, and they become included with the rest of the property. Says the Gemara, we have a similar discussion regarding the sale of property. Says the Gemara, Gabi Mechetanan, when somebody sells a property, the Mishnah Masechet Bava Basra teaches us, if somebody says, I'm selling you a piece of property that's a base core offer on the Maichalach, and there are ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, or there are racks that are 10 tefachim high, they're not included with the property, less than that 10 tefachim shear, nimdadim imay, they are included. Vama marukva bachama, and marukva bachama in explaining that Mishnah Baba Basra explains, apish emalei mayim. Even if they're not full of water, and the area where you could plant technically, they're not included. Says the Gemara, my tama, if their area that's plantable, why should they not be included just because you have this elevation or this ditch that's 10 tefachim? My tama. A person wants to buy one piece of property that should look like one piece of property. He doesn't want to buy one piece of property, viera, that looks like shnayim shalosh mekaymus, that's separate. And when you have these serious areas that are deep or high, so then it's not what he had in mind. So now that we've learned this halacha, so the Gemara says that by Hegdish, the only problem is that the issue only comes up if they're full of water. By Mecher, the issue comes up, as we just learned, even if they're not full of water. I did not want to buy a piece of property that wasn't a flat piece of property. So now the Gemara wants to know, going back to Masechet Kedushin, when we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody's Mekadosh an Isha on the condition that he has a piece of property which is a base sur, base core, and he has such a piece of property, but it has ditches, but the ditches are not full of water. So for a Hegdish, if it's not full of water, it's measured together with the rest of the property. By Mecher, it invalidates the Mecher. What will be the din by Kedushin? Hachamai, ask the Gemara. Do we compare it to Hegdish? And if they're not full of water, then it's considered measured towards the base core. Oil mech medina min la, or to compare it to mecher, and even if it's not full of water, it's not considered a base core. Says the Gemara, Mistabra to la hegdish medina min la. We compare it to hegdish. Damala, because he could say, Anot terechna uvezarana maisena. What's the reason she wants to know that he has a base core? Because a person has a base core. And once a person has a base core, he could plant there and have plenty of produce to bring home. So as long as this entire base core is plantable, the fact that it has ditches, as we're saying, as long as those ditches aren't full of water, then doesn't prevent it from being an area that I could plant. So the wife's expectation is fulfilled. And therefore, it's a valid kedushin. So of course, the Rashba and other Rishonim asked the question. We learned in our previous year, based on the Gemara, that if somebody said to the wife that I have a base core in a certain location, and he has a base core, but he doesn't have it in that location, we learned that the Kedushin wouldn't be a Kedushin. He says to the wife, well, even if it's not in the location where you expected, I'm going to bring whatever produce you need home from that location. So what's the difference where it is? You're going to get the produce. She could say, the stipulation was that the base core will be in a certain place. And if it isn't where you said it's going to be, the condition has not been met. So why over here can she not say the same? I expected a very nice flat piece of base core, and you're not bringing me that type of a property. It has these ditches in it. So answers the Rashba. The two Gemaras are very, very different. In the previous case of the Mishnah and the Gemara, he clearly identified a location, base core b'makom pliny. He articulated and identified a base core in a certain spot, and then it isn't there. So he violated what he said. It's not a fulfillment of the condition that he met, that he said. And therefore she says, you didn't fulfill the condition, we have no kedushin. In our Gemara, he never said that the base core is a flat piece of land. Yes, we're saying what he meant with the base core is that I could plant the base core. But he didn't say that it has to be a flat piece of land. So therefore she can't have a claim, well, it's not a flat piece of land. He was never promised a flat piece of land. Our Mishnah and Gemara now begin to discuss the sugya of Tanoim. As we learn through Shas, very often, as we learn, there are cases of Tanoim, of making a stipulation, as we just been finished learning. And the first place we find condition is by Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain wanted to get their share in Eretz Yisrael on the Eva HaYarden HaMizrachi, instead of getting a share in Eretz Yisrael itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, V'yomer Moshe aleihem, Im yavah b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven itchem es haYarden kol chalutz l'cham l'fnei Hashem, if you will lead the battle with Klal Yisrael when capturing Eretz Yisrael, v'nichpesha ha'aretz l'fneichem, Nosati lanas eretz agelah lechuza, I will give you the Eva Yadin as your share. However, m'lo yavu achalutzim etchem, if you don't fulfill this condition, v'noichayisu b'soichem b'eretz Kanan, you'll get in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eva Yadin. So says Rameyer, based on this pasuk, kol tanai she'ena tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven. Here, the tanai was given both the positive and the negative were both said. Moshe Rabbeinu said both were said. Therefore, if it wasn't said that way, ain't it tonight. There's a very, very fundamental machloikis rishonim. Ramey is saying here that, and this is the opinion of Ramey, as we're going to learn throughout our shir, that in order for tonight you be valid, you have to have a tonight kofel. The machloikis rishonim, how far does Ramey take this position? Is this an all tanoim? But there are rishonim derived that wants to suggest that it's only a halacha by Tanoim and Isser, like we're learning in our Masechta, about a Kedushin. But when we speak about a Tanai regarding Dine Mominus, where it's very clear that whatever I'm doing was done based on this stipulation, you don't need to have a Tanai Kafel if it's obvious that this is what was meant. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk says, that we read the Pasuk, Memlo Yaveh Chalutzim. So from here, Rameya learns from the Tanai Ger of Bnei Reuven that you have to have a Tanai Kafel. Rashi says that Rameya learns three halachas from Tanai Kafel. One halach is from the Tanai Bnei Ger of Bnei Reuven. One is, as we just explained, that it has to be a Tanai Kafel. The other halach is that when you're saying a Tanai, it has to be Hein Koinim Lulav. You have to say the positive before the negative. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, first he said, if you go, and then only afterwards did he say, if you don't go. And you also have to have the halacha of Tanai Koinim Lamaisa. The stipulation has to be articulated before the Maisa. The Ran says that we learned two other halachas. The Tanai has to be Tanai B'dava Echad or Maisa B'dava Acher. That means the Tanai doesn't speak to the actual transaction. The Tanai is external to the actual transaction. And the halacha is that it has to be something that could be done through a Shliach. He includes all of those as halachas in the validity of Tanoim. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Tzor Chadovel Omeroi, the Pasuk had to say it. Shamolei Yesh B'mashma Shafil Baretz Kanal Lo Yichalu. Says Rav Chanina ben Gamliel that our Gemara, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had to make a Tanai Kafel was because if they won't do what they were promised to do, we're not quite certain how to treat that situation. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara is going to explain this, Moshe Rabbeinu had to articulate that. But that doesn't mean that in every case you have to have, that doesn't mean in every case you have to have a Tanai Kafel. So Rashi says, Rashi just taught us, as we mentioned, various halachas that we learned from the Tanai Gadol B'nai Reuven. And now we see Rav Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees. And Rashi says, the only halacha that Rav Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees on is the halacha of Tanai Kafel. But the other halachas of Tanoim that we learned from Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel agrees, are required. Tosfos disagrees. He says that Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, because as he just said, the pasuk is there to teach us what will happen if they don't fulfill the Tanai. So it's not there to teach Hilchos Tanoim, and therefore we don't learn Hilchos Tanoim from there. The Rashi says, if somebody did not make a Tanai Kafel, even though that he didn't fulfill the Tanai, the halacha is that it will be valid. But the question is, why would the Maisa be valid? The person clearly indicated that he's connecting this transaction to the Tanai. So why should it be valid if the Tanai wasn't fulfilled because it wasn't a Tanai Kafel? So the simplest pshat is that the simplest way of learning the Gemara is that a person is aware that a Tanai that's not a Tanai Kafel, at least according to a mayor, is not a valid Tanai. It's not a valid Tanai. And therefore, the person recognized that the transaction should hold up, even though he did indicate the Tanai, and just relying on what he said is not enough. But as we said earlier in the shir, there are those Rishonim and Achronim differentiate by a Tanai B'dinei Mominus, where their halacha will be that the Tanai has to be a Tanai, by Tanai in this Sevehetta, by Kedushin, Gerushin, their Tanai has to be a Tanai Kofel. In other places, it need not be a Tanai Kofel. The Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Agra the Kala says that the Pasuk says, V'yanu Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Lamer, Eisa Shediba Hashem Levadecha Kei Nasa. Says the Gemara says the Bnei Yisachar, whenever the Torah uses the word lamer, it means to say that it's here to teach us for future generations. And that's what the Pasuk here says, lamer. As Ramei is teaching us in our Mishnah, that the Tanai is only considered a valid Tanai if it was a Tanai Kafel, and we're learning it from the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. And the Pasuk saying lamer is here to teach us that for all generations, we're learning from the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain that a Tanai is only going to be considered a valid Tanai if it fulfills the conditions that were met by the Tanai Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Says the Gemara, so we had in the Mishnah Machlokes, Ramei and Chanina Gamliel. And Chanina Gamliel said that the reason it was a Tanai Kofel isn't because to teach us that you need to have a Tanai Kofel. Rather, it was there to teach us what will be if they don't fulfill the condition. So why should this pasuk ask the Gemara, Shapa Kamalei Rav Chanina Gamliel Ramei? Why should we say that this pasuk is here to teach us Hilchas Tanaim? Amalek Ramei responds Ramei, Isak Adatach, if you're going to say Lav L'Tanai Kofel L'Dos, the pasuk is not coming to teach us the halachas of Tanai Kofel, Lichtav, it would have been adequate that the Torah should say Vim Lo Yavru, if you don't go and do what you were told, V'Nachas B'Sachem, you're going to get share with everybody else. Be'eretz Kanan Lomeli, why did the Moshe Rabbeinu have to say the word Be'eretz Kanan? Shema Mina, it's here, L'Kanai Kofel Dasa, it's coming to teach us the halacha of Tanai Kofel. So Rameyer was able to defend himself. Says the Mevra Chanina Megamali Lama, Eloi Kos Rachmana, had the Torah not said Be'eretz Kanan, Hava Mina B'Noichsem B'Soichem, they're going to get a shear, Be'eretz Gilad. They'll get a shear, but their shear will be limited to Aver HaYardin. Ava Be'eretz Kanan, and that's a Yisrael proper, Klal Loi, they won't get a shear anyway. Ramea says, that isn't what the Pasuk B'Soichem meant. B'Soichem means Kol Hecha Dis Lumashma. The Pasuk saying that they're going to get the shear and wherever Klal Yisrael getting. And therefore, since everybody else is getting a shear in Eretz Yisrael, they too will get a shear in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ritva explains that the way Ramei understands the Gemara is as follows. Ramei explains that the basis of the machloikis of Ramei and Rav Chanina is if they wouldn't go to war, what are they entitled to? Chanina ben Gamliel's opinion is, if they wouldn't participate in the war, they don't certainly deserve a place in Eretz Yisrael. So they'll get a shear, but they'll get a shear in Aver HaYarden, but instead of taking the entire Aver HaYarden between themselves, they'll have to shear Aver HaYarden with all the other Shvatim. And Rameyer, however, holds that that's untenable. Rameyer says that it doesn't make sense that they should be limited just to getting a 12th, each Eved should just get a 12th Eved HaYarden. And therefore, he understands B'Soichem to mean that they're going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael, because it doesn't make sense that they should get limited to only Eretz Eved HaYarden. And therefore, if that's the case, the words Be'aretz, the words Be'aretz Kanan remain superfluous, because we could have learned this just from the word of B'Soichem. Tanya, says the Gemara, Amr of Chanina Begamliel, Moshul Lamaha David Daimer, how would we understand this situation? Adam Shay Mechalik Nechos of Labanov. Somebody is dividing assets to his children. Mama Plenib in the year is Sud the Plenis. This son should get this property. Plenib in the year is Sud the Plenis. This son should get this property. Or Plenib in the year, this third son should get Yitem Asayim Zuz, should give his brothers 200 Zuz, the year is Sud the Plenis, and then he'll get the third property. If he doesn't get, he'll get together with everybody else. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, what would cause him to get an equal share? By the father saying this. In other words, the father, if said that he's going to, if he gives the 200 zuz, he'll get that third property. If he doesn't give that 200 zuz, we would think that he'll only get a share in the third property. He won't get the third property all by himself. But it won't give him a share in the first two properties. How did he get a share in all the properties if he doesn't fulfill the condition of giving the 200 zuz and getting that whole third property? Is because the father clearly indicated that if you're going to give the money, if you won't give the money, then you'll get a share in that third property, then you'll get a share in everything. But had the father not said it, he would have only gotten a share, a third, in the third property. So Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says the same in our Gemara, that if they participate, they'll get, that if not for what Moshe Rabbeinu said, they would have gotten only in Erever HaYarden, and they wouldn't have gotten anything in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Canaan, therefore, is not here to teach us the halachas of Tanai Kofel, but rather the Eretz Canaan is here to teach us that they're going to get a shear. The Eretz Canaan is here to teach us that they're going to get a shear even in Eretz Yisrael. It's not superfluous to teach us Tanai Kofel. Rameyer disagrees. Rameyer says that they would have certainly gotten a shear equally in everything, and therefore Eretz Canaan is superfluous. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, for Halei Damya, it's really not the same. Hamadama Moshe L'Masnisin. There, the case that he just suggested with the Moshel is not the same as our Mishnah. Hosum K'tani, in the Mishnah we said, Yesh B'mashma Shafil Be'eretz Kanan Lo Yichalu, that if not for the Tanei Kofel, they wouldn't have gotten a Shein Eretz Kanan. Alma, Kfeila, what does the Kefil accomplish? The Eretz Gilad Nami Mahani, that they're going to get a Shein Eretz Gilad. Hochok Tani, Mi Garmalayim Lerishim Echa B'Shan Nechosim, Kfeil Garmalay, Alma Kfeil L'Shan Nechosim Mahani. So the Gemara's question is that here the Kfeiloi gives him a share in what he was supposed to get in the third property in the Mishnah. And here it gives him a share in something else. And it says, before Rameya said that without the Tanai, they're going to get a share with everybody else, it would have been enough for the Torah to say, and Rav Chanina thought that the entire pasuk is there for that purpose. And there Rav Chanina said that no, I need the pasuk to tell us that maybe if they don't participate, they wouldn't get a share in Eretz Canaan. Hal abasad neimelar meiv v'nocha b'sochachem, it was just said v'nocha b'sochachem, and we wouldn't have had Eretz Canaan, we know we get in Eretz Yisrael. So what's he getting in the Gilad? Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rameya. So now the Gemara asks a series of questions. And all these questions are really based that we find many places in the Torah where the Torah says a Tanai and the Torah expresses itself with a Tanai Kofel. So according to Rameya, it's understandable because Rameya says that Tanai is not considered a Tanai without being Tanai Kofel. But according to Rav Chanina, why does the Torah express itself in all these places with a Tanai Kofel? Bishlam Rameya, Heinedek said, we go back to Parshas Bereishis, where Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Kayin after he killed Hevel, Im Tetiv, if you'll do what's right, says, Vim Loi Tetiv, and if you won't, L'Pesach Chattis Revis, you'll be punished. So both sides of the Tanai are said. Ela Rav Chanina Lamali, answers the Gemara, Rav Chanina agrees that if there's something to be learned, it needs to be said. If you'll do the right thing, you'll get schar. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, loy agra v'loy dina, you won't get schar, nor will you get punishment. Kamash malon, that no. Not only if you don't do what's right, won't you get schar, but you're going to get punished. Bishlam l'Rameya, the Torah says that Avram Avinu told Eliezer to take a wife for Yitzchak. And he said he shouldn't take a wife for the Benois Canaan. And he said that he shouldn't go to his family. And Avram added, Ostinoki Melosi, Kisava Mishpachti, Vimloyit Noloch, Vaisinoki Kalosi. So he said both sides. So says the Gemara, we understand according to Reb Meir why that was necessary. El Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, that you don't have to say both sides. Why did Avram say both sides? It's Sakdat Chamina. Heichen de nichla l'dida. What would be the case where the woman wants to marry Yitzchak? Lo nichla l'dida, but the family won't want it. Maisa bal karche. So maybe Avram Avinu was telling Eliezer bring her against the will of a family. Kamash malon. The Avram said that not only if she doesn't want, of course we cannot force her to marry somebody she doesn't want, but even if a family doesn't want, we can't force it. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, so the Pasuk already said both sides, if she wants, fine, and if she doesn't want, or her family doesn't want, then don't force it. So why did he have to repeat, in the case of Mishuvus Azois, why was it needed to be repeated? Lamali, answer the Gemara Itzrach. Sak dat chamina, hech de nichlu ledhu. Let's say the family wants, but she doesn't want. How do we know that we shouldn't do it against her will? Name about karcha, kamash malon, that she has to agree also. So what we're learning here is that Avram agreed, Avram Avinu agreed to release Eliezer from the Shvuah if he was unsuccessful to find a wife for Yitzchak from Avram Avinu's relatives. Rashi, understanding the Gemara, was saying that Avram Avinu was telling Eliezer, you could take a wife for Yitzchak from one of the Benois Canaan. If you can't find a wife from my family, you could take a wife for the Benois Canaan. And Rashi says that's what Avram Avinu said, that if you can't find a wife for Yitzchak from my family, you could take a wife for the Benois honor Eshkol Mamre, even though they are Bnei Canaan. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that what Avram Avinu meant to tell Eliezer is that you can never take a wife from Benois Canaan for Yitzchak. Tosfos says that what Avram Avinu was saying to Eliezer was that if you can't find a wife from my family, then come home empty-handed. The Mizrahi asks, there's a stira in Rashi. The Pasuk says that when Eliezer met Psuel, Rivka's father, and he asked for permission to take back Rivka to Yitzchak, he told them that if you refuse, I'll go to my right or left. And Rashi says, Yamino Smila. And Rashi says, I'm going to go to either the daughters of Yishmael, who live to the right, or to the daughters of Lot who live to the left. But ask the Mizrahi, according to Rashi that we just learned, why was Eliezer limited to saying they'll go to Yishmael and Lot? According to Rashi's understanding of the Shvuah that Avram Avinu made, he's allowed to take from the Benois Canaan. So why didn't Eliezer say that I could go to the Benois Canaan? Tosfos, it's Gishmak, because Tosfos holds that Avram Avinu never let him take Benois Canaan. But according to Rashi's understanding, he could have said to Besoel, I could take for the Benois Canaan. So the Nachlas Yaakov answers that Yishmael and Lot probably did not have any children, daughters of available and marriageable age for Yitzchak. Because Avram Avinu would not have let Eliezer go to the Benois Canaan if they had marriageable age children. What Eliezer was trying to do was to encourage Besuel to let Rivka marry Yitzchak. And he said that for him to threaten that they'll marry, that if you don't allow this to happen, if you don't let Yitzchak marry Rivka, I'll take Benois Canaan, he knew Besuel was well aware that Avram Avinu would never want his son to marry Benois Canaan. So therefore, even though maybe he would have been allowed to marry Benois Canaan, that wouldn't have been a threat to Besuel. What would have been a threat to Besuel? Benois Lot and Benois Yishmael. And that's why Eliezer mentioned Benois Lot and Benois Yishmael, even though he could have as easily said Benois Kanan. Bishlam Rameya, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Parshas B'chukaisai, in B'chukaisai Talechu, in B'chukaisai Tamasu. El Rab Chanina, the Tanai Kofel, which are always required according to Rameya. But ask the Gemara, El Rab Chanina Ben Gamliel, Lomeli, why do we need to have the Tanai Kofel? Answer the Gemara Itzruch. Sak Dat Chanina, in B'chukaisai Talechu, Brocha. In B'chukaisai Tamasu, if we won't follow the Kaddish Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, loy bracha v'loy klala. We won't be punished, and we won't be blessed. We won't be punished. Kamash Malan. So of course the question is, Atmos Yosef asks, we already learned in our shir that Cain was told that there's either bracha or klala. So why would we think that it's different here? The Gemara so answers that Atmos Yosef. There, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Cain. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Cain, it's necessary to say, if you do what's right, you'll be rewarded, and if you don't do what's right, you'll be punished. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to the Tzibur, and maybe we would think that if the Tzibur does what's right, if the community does what's right, they'll get a bracha. But the Tzibur will never get punished. That's why the Pasuk says, Rav Chanina, that even the Tzibur, who doesn't do what they're supposed to do, Rechman Slan, will get punished. Says my Bishlam Rameh the Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yishai, Im Tavu Shmatim, if you're going to do what you're told, Tov Aretz Techelu. Vim Tamanu Merisim, if you rebel, Cheref Techelu. El Rav Chanina Ma Lomeli, why was it necessary? Itzrach, Sagdat Chamin, Im Tavu, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, Tovim Tamanu, but if you won't do what's right, like Tovu V'lai Ra, you won't be punished, Kama Shmalan. Says, so here too, we have asked that Atmos Yosef. So again, this is a lesson that we learned in Parshas Bereishis. This is a lesson that we learned in Parshas B'chukaisai. Why does Yishai have to teach this lesson a third time? Says the Atmos Yosef, because we would think that a person is only punished for doing an Aveira. But maybe if the person doesn't do a mitzvah, that doesn't bring a punishment. Teaches us Yeshaya that not only are you punished for doing an Aveira, but you're actually going to be punished for not doing mitzvahs. Says Mamai, what's Cheref Techelu? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Milch Galanisa, you're going to eat salt, the Nahamad Asari Kusha, hard, dry barley bread, the Bitzali and onions. Damama, Pas Puni Chareva, a dry piece of bread, the melech ubitzalim with salt and onion, kashim leguf kharavas, are very bad for the person's digestive system. And he's telling them that chas v'shalom, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, that's the punishment, rachman slan, that the person may end up with. Of course, a person does what he's supposed to do, the midah toiv is meruba merida peranius, and a person does what he's supposed to do, not only will he get schar, but he'll get a lot of schar.